He went to God and he petitioned in behalf of the Israelites concerning their physical needs, but he also petitioned God in the Holy of Holies by offering sacrifices. So they would kill a sheep or an ox or doves, and they would actually shed blood. But what kind of blood was that, folks? What kind of blood does a sheep have? It has non-eternal blood. It's blood, it's life blood, but it's non-eternal blood. So you can kill or sacrifice an animal, and you are shedding blood, symbolizing life, but it's non-eternal blood. It's not eternal blood. So when Jesus came, Jesus gave his body. There's the grain offering, the flesh offering, but then he gave essentially his blood. But his blood was not a non-eternal blood. This was the blood of the Lamb of God, eternal blood. This is life-giving blood, so that when Jesus died upon the cross, when he gave his life-giving, eternal blood through his shed blood, I now become infused with his offering of his body, which is mine for all time and eternity. But essentially, I receive an eternal blood transfusion, so that now Jesus, my high priest, gives to me eternal life by his blood. I am now reconciled to a holy and a righteous God. Somebody say amen.
Perhaps there are times in our lives when the word great is overused, but we have a great high priest, and that just scratches the surface. This is The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, well-known author, evangelist, and pastor. And today's message, Our Great High Priest. As a matter of fact, we're starting a two-part message today and tomorrow, studying God's Word about this intercessor that we have, our great high priest. In just a few moments, we'll dive into God's Word together. But first, know this. We are available for you. We would love to connect with you, pray for you, and we can do that a number of ways. Keyboard to keyboard at theencouragingword.org or on the phone at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
We are about to see some things that I want you to know. So just let me put this out on the table right now. You and I can go into the Holy of Holies. I've got some incredible news to share today. Watch this, folks. You don't need a priest. You don't need a minister. You don't need a temple. You don't need an ark. You don't need a church. You don't need sacrifices. You don't need relics, icons. You don't need anything. Let me put it into southern terminology. Maybe you'll understand. You don't need nothing excepting Jesus. Jesus is our high priest. He made it possible. And today, this is a humdinger. I'm going to need 5 hours to explain this to you. There's so much. This is incredible. All right, everybody, get out your Bibles, open to Hebrews chapter 4. You must see this for yourself. I want you to know that what I'm about to share with you about our great high priest is not something that I'm making up. This is in the Bible. This is in the book. And it's all made possible because of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I've got a lot of different components that I'm going to be giving to you today. And the beginning part of this message, I'm going to be showing you a number of different things, and then it's all going to come together. All right? All going to fit together. God will do that. His Holy Spirit will do that. So when you get to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14, we read about what we've just been singing. Here it is. I want to read it for you. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. And I'm going to explain this. Some of this is difficult, but I'm going to try and explain it. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Interesting here, the title, both Jesus, his humanity, the Son of God, his deity. I'm going to show you in a minute how Jesus in his humanity as God made it possible for a people like you and me to come into his presence, into the presence of a holy and a righteous God, and that we no longer need to go through a temple or a priest or a preacher or anything other than the Lord Jesus. Let me read that verse again. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. On this basis, let us hold fast to our confession. That means you can take hold of your belief in Christ, your faith in Christ as a Christian. This is something of eternal value. This is absolute. Now watch the explanation in verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with us in our weaknesses, but who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. And because of that, verse 16, I've got some great news. Everybody look at me. Name it. What are you going through right now? What are you dealing with? A son, daughter, family issues, difficulties? Name it. Anything. Name anything that you are dealing with now. Here's a verse just for you and for me. Let us therefore, with confidence, draw near to the throne of grace. We've just been singing about the throne of God. In order that we may receive mercy and find grace in our time of need. God is going to give to you mercy, and he's going to pour out on you his grace. So right now, I'm going to say to you, you can come directly to God. Everybody watch me. Some of you are dealing with some very, very tough things. Some of you are dealing with things in your heart and life right now that are so hard, so tough, so heart-wrenching. Your heart is about to break. You can come to God through Jesus, because Jesus is our great high priest. You don't need me to do that. Don't need the church. He doesn't want you to bring a relic or offer a sacrifice. You can just go straight to him with confidence. And when you do that, you will be brought into the very throne of God. We're going to talk about that in a minute. And what's going to happen? You're going to receive mercy. Just think about that word mercy. God's going to pour out his mercy, but he's going to confer upon you his grace. That's his unmerited favor. So watch this. You are going to find favor in the heart of God. That means your circumstance, which is brought before him, whatever that need is going to find God's favor. That's why burdens are lifted when you come to Calvary. Now watch how this works, because back in this time, when this was written, there were high priests and there was a temple. I'm going to show you a picture of that, not just right now. Hold on for a minute for me with that picture. I want to show it to you in a minute, but I'd like to read this to you. Watch what happens in chapter 5. For every high priest chosen from among men, every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, offering two things, which they did back then when the children of Israel. Aaron was the first high priest. Remember Moses and Aaron? And if you go back into Leviticus chapter 16, if I can give you a cross-reference, you'll read about the Aaronic priesthood. In other words, what God instructed Aaron to do in behalf of the Jewish people. And everything he had to do in relation to God through the temple, the tabernacle it was called. And there's a lot involved in that. And there was a part of the tabernacle or the temple that only the high priest could go into. And essentially, what the high priest did centered around two things, two offerings. There was the grain offering, which had to do with the things pertaining to the need of man. Just think of food in a simplistic way. And then there was the blood offering, which had to do with the life of man. So the high priest was engaged essentially, and I'm being very simplistic now, I'm just boiling this down for you. The high priest did two things on behalf or in behalf of the Jewish people. He went to God and he petitioned in behalf of the Israelites concerning their physical needs, but he also petitioned God in the Holy of Holies by offering sacrifices. So they would kill a sheep or an ox or doves, and they would actually shed blood. But what kind of blood was that, folks? What kind of blood does a sheep have? It has non-eternal blood. It's blood, it's life blood, but it's non-eternal blood. So you can kill or sacrifice an animal, and you are shedding blood, symbolizing life, but it's non-eternal blood. It's not eternal blood. So when Jesus came, Jesus gave his body. There's the grain offering, the flesh offering, but then he gave essentially his blood. But his blood was not a non-eternal blood. This was the blood of the Lamb of God, eternal blood. This is life-giving blood, so that when Jesus died upon the cross, when he gave his life-giving eternal blood through his shed blood, I now become infused with his offering of his body, which is mine for all time and eternity. But essentially, I receive an eternal blood transfusion, so that now Jesus, my high priest, gives to me eternal life by his blood. I am now reconciled to a holy and a righteous God. Somebody say amen.
Give the interruption. We'll be back with more of Dr. Don's message on our great high priest and gaining that understanding of Jesus as our high priest, our remarkable intercessor. But Dr. Don wants me to remind you that we'd be happy to intercede for you right now, to pray with you and for you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And we'd love to be a part of your support system to pray you through whatever you're going through right now. We believe it's a coincidios, as my bride would say. It's not an accident that you're listening to this broadcast and this message from Dr. Wilton right now, that God's kind of orchestrated our time to be presenting this message and for you to be hearing it. And if God stirred your heart in unique ways, maybe with questioning word, the Bible itself, again, we're here for you 24 hours a day at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or we'd love to meet with you keyboard to keyboard, as we say, on our website at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. It's also where you'll find that phone number and other ways to connect, especially with a discipline of spending time in God's Word every day. We have a number of resources, physical resources, a little quarterly booklet we put out with a daily encouraging word Bible guide from Dr. Don. We have daily emails from Dr. Don you can sign up for right now on the website. You can even text the word daily to 30500 and sign up that way. That's daily to 30500 to sign up for daily emails from Dr. Don, words of encouragement from God's Word and from Dr. Wilton. Or just know we're ready to meet your needs if we can in any way possible at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-WORD. 1-800-899-9673. Now, again, we continue with this two-day series on our great high priest with Dr. Don Wilson. Let's get back to the Bible teaching right now.
All right, where are we? Verse 2. He can deal gently with ignorant and wayward because he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obliged, that is, the high priest, to offer sacrifices for his own sin just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, that is God the Father himself, you are my son, and today I have begotten you. Remember that little word? You get it in John chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only, unique, only begotten son, only one of a kind. Nobody can take the place of the Lord Jesus. And he says in verse 6, in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. And I love verse 7, 8, 9, 10, but I don't have time to get into all of that today. All right. Now, let's try and understand Jesus as our high priest. First question I'm going to ask you is, where exactly is God? We know that God is everywhere. He's all-powerful. God is everywhere. But as you and I speak, God has a dwelling place. This is going to be very important. God is in heaven. But where exactly in heaven? Anyone know? Can we pinpoint God? We can't pinpoint God, but we've got a jolly good idea of where he is. Now, he's everywhere because he's God. He is spirit. But he has a throne, and he is seated on his throne. John, on the island of Patmos in the Mediterranean Sea, John is given this vision. And Revelation chapter 4 begins what is known as the seven-year tribulation period. And during the seven-year tribulation period, we've got a picture of God on his throne up in heaven. And we've got a picture of all people who have been left behind on the earth. So the picture essentially from Revelation chapter 4 is two pictures. One is up in heaven where God is. The other is on earth where man is. So in Revelation chapter 4, something happens. After this, I looked up, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. So watch me here. John, in his vision by the Holy Spirit, looks up, and he sees a door standing open. Where is that? In heaven. And in heaven, he sees from chapter 4, chapter 5, if you get in the book of Revelation, he sees Jesus seated at the right hand of God, and in his hand he's got a scroll, which is the title deed to this earth, because God owns everything. And Jesus, the only one who has the authority to open the title deed of that which he owns, and so you begin to follow the three judgments, the seal judgments, the seven trumpet judgments, and then the seven bowl judgments. And at the end of the seven bowl judgments, something happens, folks. So go to chapter 19 quickly. Everybody turn to Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. In Revelation chapter 19, once again, I saw heaven open. This time there's no discussion about a door. In Revelation 4, heaven opens in order to receive believers into heaven. In Revelation chapter 19, heaven opens not to take us up into heaven, but to let Jesus and all believers out of heaven. You with me? Now, we've got a picture up there somewhere where you and I battle to understand up. We know it's up because Jesus went up when he came out of the grave. When he ascended on the Mount of Olives, Jesus went up. We know heaven is up. And we know he went up to be seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, the Bible's about to tell us something. I just read to you something. Jesus is our high priest because he passed through the heavens. The temple that is spoken of in the Old Testament and leading up to AD 70, which was 40 years after Jesus died, looked something like this. It was an elaborate structure. And surrounding temple worship was every kind of conceivable effort to try and come into the presence of God. For example, they would wash themselves. It was called ceremonial washing. They would bring in all kinds of sacrifices. By the way, do you remember when Jesus came into the temple? What was it that he found there? He found money changers, right? He found those that sold sheep and oxen and doves. Why were they selling sheep and oxen and doves, do you suppose? Because that was part of temple worship. And from the time of Aaron, only the priest could go into that part of the temple. Only the high priest. There were only about 63 high priests elected or appointed from the time of Aaron until the time that we are talking about right now. Now, there were many priests, thousands of priests, but only one high priest, only one chief priest. And he was the one who would go into the Holy of Holies. He was the only one. And he was the only one who could have direct access to God. And when he went into the Holy of Holies, he petitioned God in behalf of the people. That's how they came to hear from God, and that's how they came into, quote unquote, into contact with God. And so once a year, to make atonement for the people, the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies. What did he do? He would enter the outer court, he would go through the holy place, and he would go into the Holy of Holies. The problem was that Jesus came because man could not, he could not satisfy the requirements of a righteous and a holy God. It was not enough. Man kept failing in his pursuit to have peace with God. And so God so loved this world that he gave his only Son, the Lord Jesus, to come down to this earth and to take upon himself the sin of the world, yet he himself knew no sin. And he went to the cross and he gave his life. He gave his body to be broken. He gave his life. His blood was shed so that through him, when God raised him from the dead, through the resurrection of Jesus, he conquered sin and death and the grave, so that when you and I give our hearts and lives to Jesus, when we confess our sin to him and repent of our sin, as the Holy Spirit draws us into the heart of God, so it is that we are brought into a reconciled fellowship with God, which allows us to come and to approach the very throne of God with confidence. Now, the tabernacle therefore became only a limited copy of the real thing. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This is the way you do it. You no longer go through the temple." Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. This is the better way, because I am the Christ."
What a powerful day of teaching here on the Wednesday edition of the Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton. And Dr. Don will be back in just a moment to complete our thoughts about today and how God could be using His Word, the Bible itself, to stir us to change, to stir us to make a course correction, an adjustment in our life. As a matter of fact, here's Dr. Don with more.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you're ready to give your heart to Jesus. I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer, we'd love to get alongside of you and celebrate with you and send you some literature and help you as you begin to grow. And I want you to know that I love you very, very much. And by the way, don't leave. Don't go away, whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
Well, if the Lord is speaking to you, let's talk about it. Let's pray about it. Our phone number is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. I was talking back and forth via email with a friend that's been listening now to the Encouraging Word for about 7 weeks and watching God change her life. And in the midst of the discipline of knowing we need to talk to God, sometimes it's important to talk to someone about our relationship with God. And if God has spoken through our pastor, Dr. Don Wilton, today in your life, let us become another support person in your group of encouragers. Again, you can call us at 866-899-9673. Or if you'd rather, let's go keyboard to keyboard and connect on our website at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. And on our website, you'll discover a great deal about this book, Totally Secure, by Dr. Wilton. Here's Dr. Don with more.
You know, in all my years of sitting at the feet of Dr. Billy Graham, he said this to me. He said, Don, the most important thing in life is to know that you belong to Jesus. And then he said, the second most important thing is that you know that you belong to Jesus. He encouraged me to write this book, Totally Secure, to help you find the answers to these important questions. That's why he endorsed this book of mine. I want you to have a copy of this book. I want you to have the assurance that you are going to heaven. Please pick up the telephone right now and call the number on the screen and request your personal copy of Totally Secure. The Encouraging Word broadcast ministry is supported by viewers and listeners just like you who want to make a difference in the world. So thank you for requesting my book, Totally Secure. Your financial support enables us to continue moving forward for Christ.